Thanks to everyone for coming out for this 10 o'clock a.m. Sunday morning service. And to those who download these talks as podcasts or get them from the ISKCON Desire Tree website, we'd also invite you to correspond with us and give us your feedback by emailing us at utahkrishnas@gmail.com. We have a membership class online at our website, utahkrishnas.org. And we'd like to thank those who have taken the membership class, become members, because we couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today we'd like to talk to you about finishing your race. Krishna doesn't want us to be average. He doesn't want us to be mediocre. He's an excellent Lord, and He wants that those of us who follow Him also rise to the position of excellence. And I believe that our greatest temptation on the devotional path is not necessarily immorality, not necessarily addictions, but our greatest temptation once we've begun our race is to give up and not finish our course. There's millions and millions of people in the world, and Krishna says that out of millions and millions of people, only one may be interested in perfection. So you're all here, presumably because of an interest in perfection. For every one of you who are here, there's a million people that aren't here that are not interested in perfection, and they're not interested in even lining up at the starting line to run the race of life. They have no idea, nor are they interested particularly in knowing what the dream that God has put in their heart, and they don't want to make a decision to go for it. But you're here. Congratulations. You're at the starting line. You're starting to recognize, if not fully, at least partially, the dream that God has put into your heart. And you've made a decision, at least to the point of coming here regularly and informing yourself about the philosophy. But having recognized the dream, having made some sort of a decision or another, there are four more stages to increasing your trust and faith in God. And there's only one quality that's going to get you through to the end of your race. Having made a decision to act upon your dream, now you need to recognize and cultivate the quality of persistence or determination. Because after having made a decision to pursue knowledge and to pursue excellence, there's going to be delays in the fulfillment of your dreams. There's going to be difficulties during those delays. You're going to come to dead ends in your life before you reach the point of deliverance. So to go further in spiritual life and to make it a lifetime course and to finish that course with success, one needs to consider the element or quality of persistence or determination. The temptation will be at some point in our course to give up on ourselves, to give up on our marriages, and especially to give up our vows and commitments that we've made to God. Durga, as you know, is the mistress of material nature, and she's charged by the Lord to keep us here. At least she's charged to keep us here until we show the determination not to stay in this material world. Ga means go, and dur means tough. So Durga has recognized that those of you who are sitting here in the auditorium today, you've started your race, and there's nothing she can do to undo that. But what she's going to do is move heaven and earth to keep you from finishing your race. But we need to tap into the power of persistence. We need to tap into the unlimited power of God to say that no matter what comes against us, no matter how many times we fall down, we're going to go all the way with God. We're not going to allow anything to cause us to give up. I read about Emmett Smith, who holds the National Football League rushing record. He's rushed for more yards than any other running back in the history of the National Football League. Now, Emmett Smith wasn't as flashy a runner as Walter Payton or Barry Sanders, who also share a place in the Football Hall of Fame. He did not possess true breakaway speed, but his strength, which propelled him to the forefront and which caused him to capture the NFL all-time rushing record, was persistence. He just kept on running. His total yardage is 16,743 yards, which he achieved after 13 years in his career as a running back. Translated into miles, it's 9.5 miles. And it took him 13 years to run 9.5 miles. Now, you might say, well, that's no big deal. I ran 9 miles in the Wasatch foothills. I ran 9 miles at Snowberg or at Mill Creek Canyon just the other day. But the difference between your 9 miles and his 9 miles is that you didn't have 11 300-pound defensive players trying to take your head off every time you took a step. His average, running average, his average gain during all those carries was 4.3 yards. It's amazing to me to think that although he was knocked down in the course of his career almost 4,000 times, his strength lay in his getting up, taking the ball, and running again. We're also going to get knocked down in life. Doesn't matter how talented or how much ability you have or how good looking you are, how much money is in the bank, how aristocratic your background is, all of us are going to get knocked down. Now what distinguishes us from the average, from the mediocre, is not our good looks or our bank balance, but it's our persistence. The question is, when we get knocked down, are we going to stay down, have a pity party, develop grudges and resentments, and get in a rut? Or are we going to dust ourselves off, get back, and pick up the ball, and continue to run again? We can't get down and discouraged every time a little opposition comes across our path. We need to stand strong and persevere in the dualities of hot and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy. If we want to experience the best that God has in mind for us, we need to have a determined, never say die attitude. Anybody can and will give up. Anybody can and will take the easy way out, especially in this age of comfort and convenience. But if we want to swim against the crowd and achieve that which others will not achieve, we need to have a backbone of steel. At every stage, at every step, we can talk ourselves out of things with negatives. Look at Prabhupada. He came to the Western world at the age of 70. He could have said, oh, I'm too old. But he didn't give in to that negativity. Even though he was 70 years old, he kept on coming. He had no money with which to purchase a ticket or transportation or to support himself in America. He could have derailed himself and talked him out of it, but it didn't stop him. He kept on coming in spite of a lack of funds. In the trip which he made on the ship from India to America, he had 2 heart attacks. He could have said, oh, my health is bad, I'm not up to this, but he didn't. He kept on coming. When he arrived in America, he wrote letters to the government of India suggesting that they sponsor a Krishna cultural center in New York City. They gave no response, no encouragement, but he kept on coming. Then he went to rich men like the Moffatlals and Birlas, and he said, if you will invest in some sort of a building in New York City, I guarantee you the Americans are ripe for Krishna consciousness. I guarantee you it will be a success. And they all said no, and yet Prabhupada kept on coming. He was living here and there with no fixed abode, no temple, no center from which to preach. And on one occasion, he was living with a nice young boy named David. But David went out one day and took LSD, and he came back and he threatened Prabhupada by chasing him around the room. Prabhupada had to leave all his belongings and go out into the street. But he still kept on coming. Prabhupada is a model of unstoppability. Even though he was disadvantaged by lack of funds, by lack of youth, by lack of resources, by lack of support, nothing stopped him. He kept on coming, and because of his quality of persistence, he succeeded where many other younger men with more resources failed. Basically, Prabhupada said, here I am, here's my stand, I'm going to stay here. If you want to derail me, you're going to have to kill me. But I'm still going to keep coming. I'm still going to keep coming. If you kill me, I'll keep coming even in my next life. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is not something cheap. It's not something you can get overnight. He gave us the practice of chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And it's not by chanting one day or 2 days or 3 days or 4 days that we're going to immediately get the fruit of Krishna consciousness. But when we bring perseverance and determination to the process of chanting, we're guaranteed in due course of time that if we have a keep on keeping, never say die, never give up attitude, we will get the fruit of love of God. We will back home, back to Godhead. One time Prabhupada was asked by one of his disciples, well, how long does it take to experience the fruit of love of God by chanting japa every day? Prabhupada said, about 40 years. We may not feel qualified, and in fact it's true, we are not qualified to accomplish our dreams. The dream that God puts in your heart, by its very nature, it's bigger than what you can do. It's of a nature that you cannot accomplish that dream without trusting in Him and depending upon Him to carry what you lack. But if we put on the armor, the kavacha, persistence, if we stand strong, we stand determined, and we have, in fact, a shameless persistence, this is an impenetrable armor. If we don't give up, if we don't show signs of weakness, if we don't listen to the voice of discouragement, we don't even entertain the thought of defeat, we will be successful in fulfilling the dreams that God put into our heart. We need to convince the enemy, Maya or Durga, that we're not going to waver for as long as it takes, that nothing is going to stand or derail me from trusting and loving Krishna. This quality of persistence, we find it in all great men. Throughout history, there are many talented people. There are many people with ability. There are many people with money. And there are many people with connections who didn't make a difference, whose name is lost in the tides of time and time. Many less talented people with less ability, less connections, less resources are the names that are quoted as world changers, as world shakers. Thomas Edison himself said that the secret to his genius was in inspiration 1%, perspiration, persistence 99%. Did you know that he had to test 1,000 different elements before he found tungsten, the one that would work for the electric light bulb? That means that he failed 999 times. But after the 999th failure, which he was willing to undergo and through which he pushed with persistence, he came to the 1,000th time, and there he found it and he achieved success. Abraham Lincoln, before he was elected President of the United States, he lost 11 elections. 11 times he ran for lesser offices, starting with the menial position of a postmaster in his little one-horse town in Springfield, Illinois. He lost that election. He went on to lose 10 more elections. He had a nervous breakdown. He saw and experienced the death of 2 children, and he was diagnosed with deep chronic depression, and then he became the President of the United States of America. Lots of people today, when things get rough, they take the easy way out and they quit. But if we consult our spirit and the promises of Krishna, it says that you can do all things through the Lord. We need to have a shameless persistence. I heard about this man in olden times when hospitality was a paramount virtue. You had to give a guest something to drink and something to eat, no matter whether they were enemy, no matter what time of the day or night they would arrive. So I read about a man who had a guest that came to him in the middle of the night at 2:00 in the morning. He had no bread and he had no grape juice to offer his guests. So he went a half a mile down the road in the middle of the night. He knocked on the door of his neighbor and he said, "I need some bread and I need some juice because I have a guest." There was no response from inside. So then he started knocking louder and louder and louder. He said, "Wake up! I need some resources to offer hospitality to my guests." And finally a shutter would open. "Go away! We're trying to sleep. Come back in the morning." And that only inspired him to bang even louder and louder and louder. He said, "I'm not going away." He says, "I'm going to bang here all night. You're not going to get a wink's of sleep till you give me some bread and wine." And finally, the front door on the ground floor opened. He said, "Here, take your bread and wine. I'm giving you this not because you're my neighbor, not because I like you, but because I just want to get some sleep and I want to just get rid of you." we need to also have that shameless kind of persistence. Napoleon III said, persistence, perseverance, and perspiration make an unbeatable combination for success. Don't give up easily. Ask, and when it's not answered, ask again. And keep on asking. Knock, and when the knock is responded to, keep on knocking until you get a response. Seek, and keep on seeking with a never-say-die attitude. If you'll do that, sooner or later, the door will be open, and you'll have what you need. It boils down to this one simple fact. How bad do you want your dreams to come true? How bad do you want to reconnect yourself with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in love and devotion? I remember running a St. George Marathon on one occasion. I ran the St. George Marathon many times, but on one particular occasion, it seems to stick in my memory that I was having a lot of trouble and a lot of nausea in the last 5 or 6 miles. And I was having the meager contents of my stomach threaten to come up and having to kind of put that down, kind of have to push that down. But I decided I wasn't going to give up. I wasn't going to go off to the side. No matter what, I was going to cross the finish line. In those days, my running buddy was a fellow named Mike O'Connell from Spanish Fork. And in fact, I had ridden down to St. George in the car with Mike and his wife, Dana. And Mike and I would run, and Dana was what you might call our athletic supporter. So Dana came up to me when I crossed the line, and she had a nice cool drink of water and a hug for me, and she was coming right at me, and I couldn't say anything because my gorge was rising, and I'm just frantically motioning my arms like that, you know, indicating, don't get in front of me, get off to the side, get off to the side. And she got the message, the nonverbal message, and she leaped laterally to one side just in time before I projectile vomited about 8 feet in front of me. Now, I'm sorry for the goriness of that, but sometimes persistence and determination is not pretty. Sometimes it's ugly. But it's interesting that of all the various marathons I've run, that marathon is a part of my vivid, recollectible history. I'll never forget that day when I refused to give up. My time wasn't as fast as other times, and yet that effort of persistence in going the extra mile, or at least going the last 5 miles, sticks itself in my memory more than the times I ran faster. We need to be successful in spiritual life, not only to recognize the dream that's in our heart, and not only to make a decision on it, but in order to run our course to its finish, we need to be determined like a bulldog. In history, the bulldogish person is Winston Churchill, wasn't it? Never giving up, never say die. London, England was being bombed daily by the Luftwaffe. It looked dark, it looked bleak, it looked impossible. But with those bulldog jowls, Winston Churchill had a never say die attitude. He once asked someone, "Do you know why a bulldog has an upturned nose?" And the person said, "No, I don't know. Tell me why a bulldog has an upturned nose." And Winston Churchill said that when he bites and grabs onto something with the determination that he'll never let it go, he can still breathe. Someone in our own lineage with such a bulldog mentality was Haridas Thakur. Although he had many negatives against him, he had many reasons not to achieve super excellence. He was born a Muslim. He was criticized by all of his peers and his colleagues. Nevertheless, some or other, he took up the super excellent practice of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And in his youth, he made a vow that he will chant not less than 300,000 names of the Lord daily. So as a young man, he was able to accomplish that vow within 21 or 22 hours, leaving 3 or 4 hours a day for eating and sleeping. But as he got older, it took him more time to accomplish his stated vow. So it took him, in due course of time, 23 hours to chant the holy name of the Lord, leaving only 1 hour for eating and sleeping. And as he got even more aged, it took him 23 and a half hours to finish his vow, leaving now only a half an hour for eating and sleeping. And as he progressed further into old age, it came to the point that he was barely finishing his previous day's vow before the midnight hour tolled, and then he would start again on his next day's 300,000 rounds. He wasn't eating, he wasn't sleeping, he was losing weight, he was skin and bones. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to him and he said, Haridas Thakur, your place in the spiritual world was reserved decades ago. You are in the core of my heart. There is no one more dear to me than you. You have nothing to worry about. You please reduce your vow now. You please do what's practical. Go back to a lesser number of vows considering your old age. And basically, Haridas Thakur told the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I would rather die first. In fact, he said, you are the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and I intimate by your ecstatic symptoms that you're not going to stay with us much longer, that you're going to depart and go back to the spiritual world. So my request to you is that rather than reduce or abandon my vow, let me be able to say that I ran my race, that to the last dying breath, I fulfilled my vow of chanting 300,000 names of God. So you please grant me the benediction of death. That before you leave, you allow me to precede you to the spiritual world. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled in acquiescence. And he came back the next day, gathered hundreds of devotees, had a thunderous kirtan, and he stood right in front of Haridas Thakur. Now, generally speaking, holy men do discourage anyone grabbing their feet. And same with Lord Chaitanya. But he stood in front of Haridas Thakur with an unambiguous invitation for Haridas Thakur, who was right there, to grab his feet. So Haridas Thakur grabbed the feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he looked up at the moon-like face of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in full Krishna conscious, he left his body and went back to the spiritual world. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so much impressed and so much pleased with his persistence, his unbudgeability, his bulldog mentality, that he personally lifted Haridas Thakur's body in his hands and he danced and chanted. He personally dug with his own hands in the sands of Jagannath Puri, a grave for Haridas Thakur. He personally laid his body, he personally covered it up, and he personally arranged for a huge feast to be served to all the devotees in honor of the great, determined, persistent Haridas Thakur. It's good to know as devotees that when you come to the limit of your own energy, of your own strength, of your own wisdom, of your own talent, of your own abilities, it's good to know that we worship a power who is not limited by the natural. It's good to know that when we do all we can do in the natural, we have access to a supernatural, unlimited, wonderful, supreme personality of Godhead. As we read in the Krishna book some of the pastimes that Krishna exhibited 5,000 years ago when he was on the planet, he swallowed a forest fire. He lifted the mountain Govardhan Hill on the little finger of his left hand and held it aloof for 7 days. He danced on the hoods of the serpent Kaliya. He jumped off of a mountain which was 84 miles high. We have a great God that we worship, a God who says, I'm more than enough, I'm everything that you need. If you need health, I am health for you. If you need prosperity, I am prosperity. If you need peace, I'm peace. If you need love, I'm love. If you need victory, I will be your victory. Learn to put your trust in me and everything else will be accomplished. Every time that we're tempted to give up, learn to look ahead to the rewards that await us, the rewards that crown the heads of those who finish their course. Running marathons, I know that at the end of every race, there's rewards. There's a ribbon, there's a medal, there's a plaque, there's a garland, there are tables of bagels and apples and bananas and cream cheese. There are all kinds of things that await one who crosses the finish line and runs their race. And those items taste so good. They taste so much better than they would have in the natural because of the persistence that you just exhibited. I remember one marathon I ran in Boise, Idaho. Actually, in the middle of Boise, they have a green belt downtown. And so the marathon was very beautiful and very picturesque, even though it was a downtown course. Now, I don't know if you know this, but Boise kind of worships the potato. People in Idaho are kind of have a love affair with the potato. So generally speaking, when a marathon starts, you'll have a celebrity who give an inspiring speech, which is meant to give people the ammunition that they need to not just start the race, but finish the race. And then that celebrity will fire the gun to start the runners off. I remember one year I ran the Los Angeles Marathon and Cassius Clay gave a talk and he fired the gun. Another year I ran the Los Angeles Marathon and the mayor, Tom Bradley, gave an inspiring talk and he fired the gun. Well, in Idaho, the celebrity who gives the inspiring talk and fires the gun is the president of the Idaho Potato Board. The t-shirt that they award, the image on the t-shirt is of a potato with running shoes and a bib. And at the end of the race, in addition to the bananas and the apples and the normal goodies, they give you the biggest potatoes that you've ever seen in your life. I mean, these babies are 8, 10, 12 inches long, slathered with butter and cream cheese. So whenever things get tough and you're tempted to give up, just think of the rewards that await you when you finish your race and how good they're going to taste. In Utah, throughout the last 25 years, we've had a lot of devotees who come and go. They'll email us, they'll give us a phone call, we've heard about your nice programs, we've heard about your nice festivals. We would like to come and be a part of your programs here in Utah. But no sooner having come, we find they start to often talk themselves out of it. And after some time we hear, oh, Cheru, it's too hot in Utah. Or it's too cold in Utah. Or I don't like the Mormons. Or I don't like the way you trash the temple for the Color Fest. Or the morning program is too early. Or the morning program is too late. Or the morning program is too long. Or the morning program is too short. And it's interesting, nobody will ever come up to you and say, I give up, I quit. It's always a convenient mother who's sick. Oh, I just heard from my mother and she needs me to go and take care of her. In my position, I've heard about so many mothers that all of a sudden need urgent care. I have to leave tomorrow. My mother needs me. Prabhupada said, even if you experience inconvenience, and living in community, either as an indweller or as a congregational member, interacting with people is always a challenge. There's some parts of it you may like, and there's some parts of it you may not have an affinity to. There's some devotees you may just love, and there's some devotees that you just can't stand. That's part of the challenge of becoming Krishna conscious. That's part of the challenge of finishing your race. Some marathons, I've run 32 marathons. Some marathons, I was full of energy. It was easy. I was conditioned. The conditions were right. My own, and I finished without any trouble. And some marathons, like the one I described you, create a lot of difficulty. But part of the success that Krishna has in mind for us is putting up with and tolerating inconvenience. Even if you're uncomfortable in temple life, even if there are people with whom you cannot get along, even if you feel the morning program is too short or too long or it's too hot or too cold, or even if you don't like the Mormons, Prabhupada says, if you put up with that inconvenience and you persevere and you stay in the temple, then you will go back home, back to Godhead. And this is a direct quote from Srila Prabhupada. There is no more essential quality for success than the quality of determination and persistence. Here are two quotes right in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is telling Arjuna right up front. And Arjuna doesn't have a problem with this quality. He's a warrior. Warriors are all about determination. Arjuna has recognized what Krishna wants, the dream in his heart. Arjuna has made a decision to appear on the battlefield. But now Arjuna needs a pep talk. He needs someone to give him some words of inspiration and fire the gun to begin the battle. And so in the very beginning, part of Krishna's inspirational talk is contained in these two early verses in the Bhagavad Gita. O son of Kunti, either you will be killed on the battlefield and attain the heavenly planets, or you will conquer and enjoy the earthly kingdom. Therefore, get up with determination and fight. And elsewhere in the second chapter, Krishna says to Arjuna, anyone, whether they're talented or not, whether they're good-looking or not, whether they're well-connected with not, whether they have an easy time in devotional service, or whether they have a hard time in devotional service, anyone who is steady in their determination for the advanced stage of spiritual realization and can equally tolerate the onslaughts of distress and happiness is certainly a person eligible for liberation. One who is truly fortunate and blessed in Krishna consciousness is one who is enthusiastic. We're enjoined, never lag in zeal, but serve with enthusiasm. It's a syndrome, not only in Krishna consciousness, Catholicism, Judaism, Mormonism. It often is a noted syndrome that those who approach the process with initial enthusiasm, somewhere along the path, they got diverted, they got distracted, they got excited about their retirement fund, they got excited about insurance, they got excited about a new car, and they thought, I'll do this first, and then I'll put Krishna consciousness on a shelf, and I'll get back to it later on. And they never, ever get back to Krishna consciousness, because one distraction leads to another distraction, which leads to another distraction, and before you know it, an entire season or two of your life is gone, you're in your autumnal years, and you no longer have the health, the strength, and determination to do all the things that God had intended you to do. Prabhupada said, don't be surprised who goes, but be surprised who stays. If we want to run our whole course and not just part of it, if we want to finish our race and not just start our race, we've got to continually learn the art of stirring ourselves up, of always exciting ourselves about the new day that the Lord has planned for us. Never taking Krishna consciousness, never taking our eternal connection with Srila Prabhupada for granted. Nice example of enthusiasm and determination in devotional service is that of Madhavendra Puri. He was elderly and he had his Gopal deity in Vrindavan, and he was already famous all over the world. His place in the spiritual world was already assured, and he was daily supervising the worship of his deity. But in a dream, Krishna came to him and he said, go 1,000 miles away to the Malayan hills, get this certain big quantity of sandalwood and bring it back to worship the Gopal deity. Now he could have given in to negativity. He could have given up. He could have talked himself out of it. I'm too old to walk 2,000 miles round trip. And anyway, it's just a dream. It's probably a figment of my imagination. But he didn't. He walked 1,000 miles to the Malayan hills. He got this big quantity of sandalwood, which was very valuable. Now, in those days, there were no public roads. There were individual private persons who maintained a certain stretch of road, and then they would set up armed toll keepers that everyone who passed along that stretch would have to pay a fee. Not only a personal fee, but if they had commodities, they'd have to pay an additional property tax. So again, Madhavendra Puri is going back to Vrindavan 1,000 miles, having to pass so many toll gates, but he was determined that I'm not going to light my load, even though it's a heavy load, and I'm an old man, and I have a long way to go. I'm going to deliver this entire quantity of sandalwood intact. I'm not going to pay a penny of a tax. I'm not going to pay a penny of my own tax. And anyway, he didn't have any money anyway. So with that determination, he talked his way through every single of what must have been dozens and dozens of toll booths. He arrived in Vrindavan with the sandalwood intact. He hadn't paid any of it. He hadn't given it out, any of it in taxes. And he worshipped his Gopal deity with that. Be determined to fulfill your destiny, to achieve everything, not part, not 50% or 3/4, to achieve everything, 100% of what Krishna had in mind for us. There's a crown awaiting us at the finish line. Don't ever be satisfied or settle where you are. Press in, press in, press in more and more to rely more on Krishna, to get to know Him better, to trust Him. His dream for our life is so much bigger and so much better and so much greater than we can ever imagine. My hope for you is that when you leave this body, when you come to the end of your life, when you cross the bar, you'll hear these words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." The cry of our heart should be, Krishna, help me finish the race that you've laid out before me. Help me endure hardships as a good soldier. I realize that not everything you ask me to do is easy. Some things are a little difficult, but I ask you to give me the determination to stand strong and fight the good fight. Don't ever give up. We need to show the enemy that we're more determined to go back to Godhead than she is to have a stay in this material world. We're standing on Krishna's promises. Know those promises are true and show Krishna that your answer is on the way. Krishna is very pleased and he rewards persistence. The more that you strive to live a life of excellence, the more that you strive to put Krishna in the center of your life, the more holy, purified, rarefied life that you become determined to live, the enemy is going to oppose you, stiffen up more and more strongly. Then you have to ratchet things up and be even more determined that no matter what crosses your path, you're going to finish your course. Let's make a quality decision today. Let's decide that no matter what opposes us, no matter how many times we get knocked down, that we're going to go all out for Krishna. No matter what happens, we're going to keep on keeping on. And I'll finish with this quote at the very end of the Bhagavad Gita, just as Krishna started his talk in the second chapter, emphasizing determination and persistence as the most important qualities. Practically one of the last verses in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna concludes with the same theme that he started out with, quote, "One who performs his duty with great determination and enthusiasm and without wavering in success and failure is sure to be rewarded with the crown of devotional service in the eternal spiritual world." And if you're inclined to chant with me, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.